Welcome back to Breakfast with Bob, Boston Marathon Edition. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're presented to you by Highlands Leg Cramps. Stop the cramps, not the race. And the Normatec Pulse Recovery System, the 120th Boston Marathon. Our guest, four-time USATF Ultra Runner of the Year, Mr. Mike Wardian. Mike, how the heck are you?
Man, I'm so good. Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure to get to see you in such a cool location, and Boston Marathon's super special to me. It got me into running.
Does it really? Was it the first marathon you heard about?
First marathon I heard about, it inspired me to start running, and I actually didn't know you had to qualify to get into it.
Yeah.
So it was back in the 90s. There was no real internet present. So
no, yeah, right.
Yeah, I had to send a self-addressed stamped envelope. I got the thing back. It said, "What's your qualifying time?" And I said,
"I'm a nice guy."
Yeah, I said, "I'm a nice guy." Like, wait, I have to qualify. And so then I did, and I've been running ever since.
And so were you a runner in grammar school, high school, that type of stuff?
Or no, man. I was a lacrosse player growing up.
Okay. And so the Boston was really when you said, okay, I got to qualify, and that started the whole running journey.
Yeah, that started my running journey. It kind of put me on the path of where I am now, and I've just continued to kind of try and improve and see what I can do. And it's been such a magnificent journey and led me all over the world. And
I was going to say.
Yeah.
How many Olympic trials have you ended up going to with the marathon?
Three Olympic trials.
Very cool.
The first, I didn't make it this last year, but I'm hoping to take a little break.
I've
been doing some longer stuff, and so hopefully I'll be back there for the next one.
What I love is you're one of those guys who runs, but you bring a fun aspect, right? Because you're always looking for a challenge. Like, can I run two marathons in one day?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that type of stuff. Is that what gets you going?
I think it all gets me going. Running fast, running long, like 100 milers, 50
yes.
milers, 100 Ks, qualifying for world teams.
Yeah.
The adventure of going to new places, meeting new friends, exploring different cultures, foods,
right.
terrain, challenges, like, you know, maybe focusing on things that aren't your strong suit, but also like kind of drive you and
sure. And
make you have an appreciation for the ability to move through the world under your own 2 feet.
Toughest run you've ever done?
I've been lucky to... I guess lucky in quotations, but I've been lucky to be able to do some really tough ones. Like my friends are just finishing Marathon de Sahab, where you run across
the
Sahara Desert with your all your kit on your back for a week.
And I don't think people understand, when you do a Marathon de Sahab, there's no aid stations, there's no nothing, right? You have to carry enough. Is it each day you carry enough for that day, or do you have to have enough for basically the whole week?
No, you carry everything for, you start the week with everything you're going to use for the week, and you only get water every day.
So they'll provide you with water, but in terms of tent, sleeping bag, whatever you decide to carry, you can go as light as you want or as heavy you want, but you have to carry it.
Yeah, and well, you have to have a minimum of 2,000 calories a day. So
they force you to have enough so you don't die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I've done races like Badwater in Death Valley. Last year, I was able to take part in some crazy races. There's Diagonal de Fou. It's
what
cross,
is that?
It's in French, the way that I understand the translation is, it's the crossing of the crazies. And so you run 100 miles across Reunion Island, which is off the coast of Madagascar.
And it's just
one of the most insanely beautiful places I've ever been. It was actually where I understand that HOKA was founded by Jean-Luc and Nico.
Yes.
So
there's some different
heritage and history, but also just some of the most incredibly beautiful trails and just excited, passionate people about trail running. So that one was hard. It took me 34 hours to finish, which is my longest day out on a run.
So talk about, you did two marathons in one day. I'm guessing that one of them was Rock and Roll Las Vegas because it's a nighttime. What was it?
That was actually true, yeah. So I did the Rock and Roll San Antonio in the morning.
That's right.
And I won that race. My goal was to try to run both races under 2 hours and 30 minutes. I ran 2:31 in San Antonio. I jumped on a plane. My brother was my crew, so we ran to the start of the race, which was like 4 miles. We did the race, ran back to the hotel 4 miles, jumped on the plane. I wasn't smart. It was a Southwest plane, so there was no like seating, so I was like cramped in the middle. get to Vegas. We have about an hour and a half before the race. Do a little shakeout, run 2 miles at the start of the race, run the race, and ended up not doing the time that I wanted. I ended up having to go to the bathroom a little bit too much because slammed too much water between the races trying to hydrate. And ended up 10th in 2:56, 2:57.
So how'd you do in the first one in San Antonio?
I won the first
one. You won the first
one. Yeah. So won the first
and 10th in the same day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else is doing that? Nobody.
There were some other people that were doing the both races, but I don't think they were able to do as well. And maybe
fastest marathon dressed as a superhero. What was your superhero?
I'm a big fan of Spider-Man, so I was I was rocking the Spider-Man outfit.
Now, and when you're running, because I've seen sometimes when we do the Elvis thing, and guys will say, I'm in an Elvis outfit, and they'll have burns hanging off the glasses, and that's it. You go full outfit.
No, yeah, this is a full-on Spider-Man outfit, you know, the full bodysuit, nice and tight.
Mask.
I had the... You got to wear the mask. And actually, I had the mask with, like, my buddy just broke my record at London last year.
What?
Yeah, but he cut out the eye holes.
That doesn't count.
And the mouth. No, it counts, man. Guinness was there. But I had it with the eyepieces in, and it kind of looks like the top of this microphone. Yeah. So, like, when the sun hits it, you get all these sunspots. And then, you know, I didn't really have the mouth open, so I was, like, drinking water through the...
Through the mask.
Through the mask.
Through the flammable plastic crap.
Well, actually, no. It's a cloth mask.
Okay, yeah.
So it's like one of the real ones. And then I had the fake muscles. So if you spill water on the fake muscles, you know.
They shrivel and it just adds weight.
Yes, exactly. So definitely, Paul, I'm going to get that record back, I think. Buddy.
What did he run? Or what did you run?
I ran 2:34 and he ran 2:27 last year. So
unbelievable.
Yeah, so it's pretty fast.
So how many marathons total, marathons and ultras, have you done? Do you have any idea?
Oh, probably around 250 of both, and I'd say probably over 175 marathons or something like that.
So one of those is North Pole Marathon.
I know, yeah. My friends, that's actually this weekend because they got delayed because of weather. So
they didn't have enough snow?
No, actually, the runway cracked as they were trying to come in with the second plane this year.
Oh, my God.
So then they had to figure out how to get all the... Because they usually go in two flights.
Yes.
So, I won that 2 years ago in 2014.
And what'd you run in that thing?
I think I ran one of the faster times. It was around... It's like a... Depends every year, but I ran around 4 hours, and I won by about an hour.
And what did you find to be the biggest challenges to running in that type of environment?
It's incredibly cold, so it's like -40 Celsius. So if you take your gloves off for more than like 15 seconds, you start to get frostbite.
Sort of almost as cold as it is in this area right here.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, similar. We might have to get our parkas out.
I know my parkas. Yeah.
But then I think basically the thing is I wore like a. Like this thing called the Cold Avenger, which covers your face. So you kind of look like Bane from like Batman also.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like covering your face. So being able to fuel with a mask on like that is really challenging. So basically I did the marathon on just a really minimal amount of fuel.
How about shoe wise? What did you have to wear like bottle caps on the bottom of your shoes?
No, actually, no, man. I was able to wear my.
Hokas? No
yeah,
problem?
I wore my. I what I was worried about was like the traction too, but
yes.
I wore Stinson ATRs.
Yes.
So that's just a regular Hoka.
Yeah.
I got them a size bigger, and then I wore like three pairs of socks. So like
no
I had
problem.
Like my N'Jinjis on. I had, and then two pairs of like the thickest, craziest wool socks you've ever seen from like REI. Just, yeah, that was it.
So what's interesting is you're sort of having to be a little bit of a pioneer because a lot of this stuff when you're putting on a Spider-Man outfit, you know, most people are wearing Spider-Man or if you're wearing Elvis, we're running slow, right? We're sort of jogging, we're stopping for beers, we're playing Elvis tunes. You're running fast.
Yeah.
So, you know, the gear you're wearing has to not restrict you for
yes.
running fast. Do you go out in the neighborhood in your Spider-Man outfit and test this stuff out, make sure it works?
I actually do, yeah. So, and what is awesome is the amount of just insanely happy people that you see as you're doing your training runs in the kit.
In the Spider-Man kit.
Yeah, and I can't wait. If we were talking about the Elvis kit,
yes,
man,
yes.
But if you get me some of that, like, there will be some awesome, awesome
neighbors are going to be really excited about Elvis moving into the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Or there, or yeah. There goes the neighborhood.
There
maybe.
There goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, I don't know. That.
So, besides Spider-Man, what other outfits have you worn? Or are you usually Spider guy?
Usually I'm Spider-Man. Usually I've been Spider-Man, so I've done it a couple times.
And yeah.
So Spider-Man is my go-to. I've also run pushing my kid in the jog stroller. So set a world.
Nice.
Yeah, so set a world record pushing our sons in a jog stroller.
With
so,
both of them the same time?
No, so different Separate. Times. Yeah.
Okay, going so, one at a time.
Well, yeah, so one at a time. So I set one with our first son, yeah. Pierce,
yes.
Who's now 9. So it's okay. Been quite a while.
Yeah.
And then our second son, Grant, I was like, well, I got to at least try with Grant.
Totally.
I mean, you can't yeah. have one and not the other.
So is one faster than the other?
Yeah, so actually I ran faster with Grant, but there was a guy that we had a battle, like a diaper.
Back and forth?
Yeah. So
trying
he,
to shove the jogger out in front
well,
of him?
Well, no. He ran 2:31 and I ran 2:34, and so his time was actually faster, but I still have the record because he hasn't submitted the paperwork yet. So, yeah, it's
so
crazy.
So you're going side by side with another guy in a jogger.
Yeah, it was at the Route 66 Marathon, and
yeah.
It was really cool. We actually ended up first and second overall
in the
marathon.
And you're pushing joggers.
And pushing baby joggers.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
Did you know the guy?
Oh, yeah, he's a really good runner.
Friend of yours?
Yeah.
So did you know he was coming?
Yeah. We,
okay.
like, set it up to, like...
Okay.
Yeah,
to battle.
So
it's not like you show up, oh, well, I'm going to go do the... Oh, what's this other guy doing here?
No.
That
yeah.
is cool. So yesterday...
Yes.
You ran the 5K blindfolded.
I did.
What led to that? Did you just want to get a sense of what it's like to be a sight-impaired athlete?
Actually, my buddy Kyle reached out to me. He works with a group or an organization called Team with a Vision.
Okay, yes.
And it was to help raise awareness for people that are visually impaired and
yes.
also blind.
Okay.
And so it was a really cool thing. It's called the Blindfold Challenge.
Yes.
And it's basically you have the option of either guiding someone that's visually impaired or blind, or you have the option of being blindfolded yourself. And Kyle said, like, which would you prefer to do? And I thought it would be really interesting and informative
yes.
to do the challenge blindfolded myself. So, like, I'd never run blindfolded. Well, I mean, you know, the visual impairment with the Spider-Man outfit being set aside, but, like, I've never really had that
totally
experience.
Totally sightless, yeah.
Yeah, totally sightless. So you put on, like, a blackout mask, and then I had a bandana on top of that to just make sure it's, like,
you
pin the tail.
Yeah,
it's like pin the tail on the donkey. Like,
nothing.
Couldn't see anything.
How scary.
It was unbelievably scary.
Yeah.
And I felt super vulnerable, and I felt really exposed,
yeah.
But then and dependent. And it's a really weird feeling because as you know, mature as a person and as an adult, you have a sense of, I don't know, a presence about you, right?
Yes.
And
you lose
feel
that
like,
all when you're
yeah,
sight impaired. You have no sense of anything.
Right. And not even like just like I was... And I did a training run with Inside Tracker and Sweet Green on Friday evening,
uh-huh.
and I met my guide for the first time, and I didn't know him. Like, it was just I'd met him over email, this guy Chad, super cool guy.
Who you have to trust with your life, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, the guy you've met for 4 minutes.
Yes.
Over, you know, it's like, we're talking online dating is scary?
Yeah.
This is worse.
Yeah, this is just insanely, but like, so we did the training run, and, you know, I was going maybe like, 12, 13 minute miles.
Yes.
Just basically trying to get a feel for how it works. You know, you're tethered together.
Yeah.
They guide you by also arm position,
yep.
but also then by
verbal cues.
Verbal cues.
Yeah.
But it's also weird because, like, being a runner as long as I have, like, I know what distances are, but, like, when you start breaking it down into 50 feet or 25 feet, or is it, you know,
yeah.
how many
how
steps
is
that?
Turn,
yeah. And then, like, is the curb coming? Is it not coming? Is there a manhole cover? So so it went really well. I felt by the end of the run, I was able to run
right.
somewhat normal and get, and then you have to, like, match your stride with the other person and not clip legs and
other people. That's the
exactly.
biggest hazard because
yeah.
if you start too far back, Or if you start up front, it's not really bad because people just go around you.
Right.
But if you're a fast guy.
Right.
So you were probably weaving the entire time without seeing what you're weaving around.
Yes, exactly. And so we during the BAA 5K, which is where the blindfold challenge took place yesterday, we tried to get to the start line in time, and it seemed like we got there were so many people that we didn't get up to the very, very front. So we spent the first mile navigating our way through everybody. I think we ran 9:06, and then we opened up a little bit, and I think the final time was like 20:32 or something.
Yeah. Wow.
So we were able to really pick it up the last couple of miles.
That is so cool. And it gives you an appreciation of what a sight impaired person goes through on a daily basis, just walking the streets and crossing.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
It's unbelievably amazing. I mean, I was impressed with what these people are able to achieve.
Yes.
with the resources they have, and for them to be able to not just run the race and take part in the event, but like navigate to the start, you know, figure out what they're going to do with their equipment, like.
Yep.
Just getting to the right corral and having the ability to, like, I was worried about, like, you know, how do I go to the porta potty? You know, like that kind of stuff is like, you know, finding your way from there back to the start.
Losing your guide.
Yeah, exactly.
or
someone drops down in front of you to tie their shoe and
you have no idea.
Yeah. You have no idea.
Pile drive over them.
Yeah.
So you're a guy who's running a lot of marathons, and how have you managed to stay healthy and not deal with nagging injuries, or do you?
No, I think I've been really fortunate to stay healthy. I think I have a good group of sponsors that have really have a lot of good products that help me maintain my health. I mean, one of them is the one we were talking about earlier, but yeah, Hoka. I mean, that's before I was in Hokas, I ended up getting my only really big injury in my career. I had 5 stress fractures of my pelvis and 5 hernias all at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Since I've been in Hokas, that was in 2012. That's when I knew John, Luke, and Nico before that. But that's when I was like, I have no interest in getting hurt again. And I switched over to running in Hokas, and I've run an average of maybe 50 races a year since then. And
50 races a year.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Good for you.
So I've been super happy with the way they've been able to protect me, and then all the other sponsors I have, and then obviously like taking care of your body, eating really healthy.
Yep.
And then, you know, I'm really passionate about what we do, and so
obvious.
I think that really happens to help you be able to motivate to stay healthy and do the right things to put yourself in a good position.
Now that I hear something about you might be doing all the major marathons this year.
Yeah, so that's actually really cool. I'm taking part in all the Abbott World Marathon Majors. So I've just secured entry into the last one, which was Berlin. So I did Tokyo a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Then I have Boston this weekend, London next weekend, and then I have 400 milers this summer, and then I go.
So besides the Marathon Master Majors, you're also doing 400s.
Yeah, I'm doing 400s all over the world, and then some longer ultra stuff, and some, you know, obviously shorter 10K half
marathons.
All that
those,
kind of stuff.
Yeah. Are there 7 marathon majors?
There's 6.
6, okay.
6. So then Berlin in the fall in September,
New
October.
York is in there, yeah.
Yeah, is Chicago, and then New York is the last one in November. And then maybe we'll end up doing the Elvis thing.
Maybe we'll do a little Elvis thing. And the other thing we should think about is, now that you've been a sight-impaired guy, we should find out if there's some athlete who might need a little pacing. Because you get the same medal that the Paralympic athlete gets.
Yeah, that's pretty
amazing.
It might
be a medal at Rio, maybe, or Tokyo,
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, man, I would love to be able to give back to that kind of community, knowing what it takes, and if I could be of help, I'd love to.
And what are the goals for tomorrow? No Spider-Man tomorrow.
No, but I got something neat planned. So my goal is to try to be between 220, maybe like 220 to 225, be in contention to win the Masters category.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But then I'm also going to be running with a GoPro to try to get some really cool footage of the course.
So, and you wear that in the chest or head?
Yeah, I got a chesty, yeah.
A chesty?
Yeah.
Good man.
So that'll be cool. So hopefully get some really neat content from the start of the race, Wellesley.
Yes.
Heartbreak Hill, of course, and that area. And I really want to capture the feel of the race, and I think that's important. And then obviously Boylston Street is its own animal.
It is.
Getting down there and just being a part of that whole crowd.
I think it's going to be tough for you to go through Wellesley running fast and not stopping. That's
it's
always
tough every year, man. Yeah. They're like the sirens. I think of them as like from the old, epic tales, you know, you're just trying to like do your job and run as fast as you can, and then you have these beautiful
women for a mile and a half screaming at you.
Beautiful women and just awesome fans, you know, and it's hard not to like slap five, and usually I slap five, but I don't stop for kisses.
I love that. Mike, have a great time tomorrow. Love the energy you bring to the sport, because there's obviously a lot of fast athletes, a lot of athletes with personality. It's always fun to find someone with both.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure, and thank you for doing what you do. It's nice to have someone who really knows what they're doing be able to speak to the sport in the way that you do.
I appreciate it. Mike Wardian has been our guest. Again, we are at the 120th edition of the Boston Marathon. Hold on, everybody. We will be right back.